Morning, everyone. Wednesday, May 18. The Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, and a very good morning to you wherever you're listening. And a nervy morning for Liverpool fans. 1-1 at half time. It's St Mary's against Southampton. Liverpool conceded the first goal, then equalised, but they need to win this game, really. Even though a draw would give them an outside hope, but a loss would hand Man City the title. But Liverpool really need to win this morning to keep it alive heading into the final day. Now, Loz and I have just watched a celebration gone wrong as well overnight. Bidium Girmay, who's an Eritrean cyclist, well, he was taken to hospital. He's made history, by the way, the Giro d'Italia, the first black African rider to win a Grand Tour stage. And there he is, standing on the podium, standing over the top of his celebratory champagne, popped the cork straight in his eye. Off to hospital.
Oh, no.
Off to hospital. And, well, he's been discharged with a bandage over his eye, but that is a celebration gone wrong. You got any others you can think of? Celebrations gone wrong? Let us know. 0419 767 272 on the text line. There you go, Clarky. Yeah, anyone in, you know, post ashes triumphs in the change room, someone just make a complete goose of themselves?
Morning, boys. Morning to our listeners. I'm not sure I've ever seen the champagne cork get cracked into someone's face or eye. Always shenanigans, though. Generally, there's a trophy broken or a couple of misdemeanors. But no, I can't think of, off the top of my head, I can't think of a celebration where someone's had to go to hospital. You were there. My 40th birthday at my house when we decided to play a game of indoor cricket. Remember, one of my mates popped his shoulder out.
Oh.
Blake. So we had to get an ambulance for him to go to hospital.
Yeah, that's a celebration.
It
didn't win anything.
No, of course. And I'm not sure what we're celebrating. Another day older. Certainly no wiser playing indoor cricket in my house. But he popped his shoulder out bowling. Didn't actually, wasn't doing anything stupid, just bowled a ball. But he's actually had surgery on it. Not because of that, but because it popped out so regularly. Mm. Anytime he went, he loved his surfing, but anytime he went for a surf, he popped his shoulder out. So, yeah, that's probably the only one I can think of. But, no, I don't remember too many champagne corks in the eye. That's especially if you know it's coming out, right? You're shaking the bottle. You're prepping for the explosion. I'm not sure why the eye was anywhere near it. But, anyway.
He was standing right over the top of it. Probably not the way to go
maybe,
about it.
So maybe he didn't shake it. Maybe somebody else has done the shaking, put it down, and he's just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Mm.
Anyway, hope he's okay.
Well, hopefully. Celebrating a win anyway. Good morning, Loz. How are you?
Yeah, morning, boys. Not too bad. Some interesting selections on the weekend for the weekend's games. Some of the clubs are starting to make some moves and starting to make some changes through necessity. But great to see Marcus Sivo being named on the interchange bench for Parramatta. We're unsure of whether he'll play or not, but he has been named in that extended squad. He spent the best part of 6 months on the sideline with a knee reconstruction, getting that ready to go when Parramatta could do with his strength out wide. They've missed him a little bit. Brent Naden, shock call there yesterday, leaving the Dogs. I don't think he'll be the first one to leave the Dogs, but he'll come up against his former club on Friday night when the Tigers take on the Bulldogs, and he's been named in jumper number 21.
That's extraordinary, Loz.
Interesting selection, isn't it?
Straight away gone. Make
a decision in less than 24 hours and you're gone. But I think that's the first of a clean out there at the Dogs. I think there's a lot of players that they'll try and move on. There'll be other that'll be coming off contract. I think it's just the start of it. They've released their head of performance, Dan Ferris. You would think that Steve Hansen, the consultant there, he was highly critical of the decision to remove Trent Barrett. I don't know whether he'll stick around. I think the Bulldogs are going through some change. Mick Potter has been announced as the interim coach, well, about to be named as the interim coach. Obviously they've got no faith in the assistants there to do that job. Sander Cotton and Dave Ferner. So there's plenty of changes going on there at the Doggies.
There you go, Clarky. You got a new player, Brent
like
Naden.
It. Like it. I think he's good. I think he'll be good for the club. I'm still, as much as, it's great for West Tigers. how this can happen in sport is ridiculous, in my opinion. You can just, halfway through a season, decide to pack up and leave, and then 5 days later, 4 days later, you're representing another team against your old team. It's just hard to stick loyal to a team or to certain players when, again, you know, if I go for West Tigers, you do over time, you fall in love with the players, and then someone packs up and leaves and you're playing against them the next week's not good as a fan, I don't think.
Well, the interesting thing about this one is he just joined the club from Penrith and he's played 8 games.
Yeah.
And now he's crazy. Gone. I mean, it's unusual.
Oh, it is unusual. He signed a play under Trent Barrett, and obviously he had a strong relationship with Trent. But I think the roster, as we continue to talk about the Bulldogs, it's not a balanced roster. Mm. And they're looking to make salary cap space, and the player has to agree to it, and the club agree to it, and they move on. It's just something that we've seen.
This couldn't have just happened this week, though, Lois. Surely Naden's had conversation with the Tigers leading up to this. Surely it's not Trent Barrett resigns. Okay, manager get on the phone that day and now leave the next day.
Oh, yeah, could be.
That quickly.
Oh, yeah. I think that Gus has probably had a conversation with a lot of the players and said, well, if you don't feel like you want to stick around, come and see me.
Really?
And we'll try and get a job done where you can move on. Yeah, he's ruthless, Gus, when it comes to roster management. Oh, so I would think that, yeah, this has all just taken place in a short space of time. And as I said, I don't think it'll be the last. I think there'll be a lot of other players that'll be tapped on the shoulder that if you can get an opportunity somewhere else, you can go. You can take that up. Because they've got to get their salary cap in order. They've got to get a balanced squad. They've got players coming to the team,
Why did they buy Naden in the first place then? Why did they buy Naden in the first place?
Well, they needed a different roster. So they were trying to put a roster together and they were after players and they were just grabbing whoever they could because what they had in the past wasn't working. So they had to go and attract different players to the club.
8 games and you booted out. You're told, yeah, you can go if you want.
Well, he might have said to them, I'm not happy here. I came to play under Trent. And they've agreed to release him from his contract. You know, details will come out in the next week or two. But I think that they have to try and do something different, the Bulldogs. Mm. And if both parties are in agreement that it's the best move for each other, shake hands and move on.
Braith and Astor on NRL 360 last night, player manager, ex-Bulldog, of course, suggested that Naden hadn't been overly popular with his teammates. That's just what Braith and Astor said last night. So I think there might be more to his move as well behind the scenes than what we might see on the surface. So anyway, it's just begun, hasn't it, there at Belmore. Incredible for Dogs fans, really, because I'm sure we were having the same conversations 18 months ago about clean outs and regenerating the roster. And here we go again, basically. So it's just a rebuild that never ends there at Canterbury.
And
Tigers fans know all about that.
But this is the other thing I find it hard to comprehend. So you haven't elected your full-time coach, right? At the moment, they're having someone come and stand in. So how can the club be making, we talk about leadership and accountability. How can the club be sacking players, buying new players, without having a head coach? Surely the head coach has got to have a say in the players that are at the club.
Yeah, they haven't bought any coaches yet, any players yet.
No, but they're obviously released one.
Yeah, to provide some salary cap relief.
But what how can you make any of those decisions? What if the new coach wants Naden? Bad luck. But this is my point. You can't ask somebody to take accountability if you're not going to give them accountability. What if the new coach says, mate, I want Naden, you're going to buy him back?
Yeah.
This is the
predicament that the Bulldogs are in. They've given control to Gus. So that's where it lays. So
then he needs to be accountable. No, the coach is now 2IC. The coach is the vice-captain then.
Always. Always under Gus. That's how it operates. So Gus is in charge. Gus will make the decision along with the coach on who will come to the club. And they'll try and rebalance the roster to get it in the best possible shape as they can. And they will try and make some space so they can go to the marketplace. And I'm assuming they will look to get a halfback or they'll look to get a fullback. They'll look to get a nine. That's where I reckon.
I feel like we say this all the time about coaches. When a coach comes to the club, we say, well, we've got to allow him some time to be able to get the stock that he wants and build his own team. Yet the Bulldogs are going to do the same thing. Gus is going to get the team that he wants or the squad that he wants, but he's not the coach.
Yeah, but they can't get any players at the moment because they've got no money. Yeah, so what he's trying to do...
But that's my point. Isn't the most important stage one here...
Is to create space.
Is to employ my coach. Get the coach, because then the coach can... The coach might say, you know what? He might disagree with you and me. Mm. He might say, mate, the stock that we have now, all I need is I want a number seven. But the rest is okay. He mightn't want to release any of those players.
But he mightn't have that autonomy. They've made it clear that Gus is running the football program. So yeah. Gus is in charge. So if you take on that job... You know that Gus is your boss.
But I understand
so,
that.
So if you go into any organisation, you find out what the structure of management is. So if the structure is that I'm in charge,
yep.
Well, I have full autonomy. But if I want to take on this job and Gus is sitting above me,
got that.
You understand what you're walking into.
So the coach should not be fired then when the team does not perform. Gus should be.
Well, people have to be accountable.
So Gus is 100% accountable by the sound of this.
The coach will be accountable. But, well, they haven't signed any player yet.
Yeah.
What they're doing is being able to free up some salary cap space. I don't know whether Gus will go to the marketplace and buy any players without the coach being in place. I don't know. But what I'm saying is what he's doing at the moment, he's just trying to get as much space as he possibly can to try and rejig this roster. Because the roster at the moment, it's an imbalanced one.
Loving already on the text line, by the way, celebration's gone wrong. Aaron Woods in State of Origin, completely missing the huddle.
Jumping over the top.
You would have been coached then, were you, Loss?
I was, yeah.
Yeah, would have had some fun in the video with that afterwards.
No, Woodsy, yeah. No,
someone else.
I don't think he's ever let that down.
This is a very good one. Remember this. Good morning, men. How about Tony Finau's celebration after his hole-in-one? That was in the par 3 comp at Augusta. He sunk it and then busted his ankle during the celebration.
The cat eye rate.
Yeah, and then it popped straight back in. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Morning, boys. Celebration's gone wrong. Laurie Daly, when he incorrectly claimed one of your Queensland listeners' multis of Winks and Farlap as one of his own. Cheers, Wol.
No, Wol. Wol. Steady up there, brother. I'll tell you what happened. Without me, you wouldn't have got that multi.
That's it. Celebrate the wins. Now... I'll have to proofread that text in the interim. Okay, back page. In fact, just in the City Morning Herald as well, we're talking about the Brent Naden departure from the Dogs to the Tigers, which is the feature of the back pages on the back page of the Telegraph. Carnage in the kennel. The Australian bloodshed at Belmore continues. City Morning Herald on the back page there. Potter set to fill coaching hot seat for rest of Bulldog season, but also in the City Morning Herald, they're saying that the reason that he's left the Dogs and gone to Concord and the Tigers is because he wants to play centre. And that's a primary reason. But yeah, when you rate games into your Dogs career, really?
Yeah, no. I think what's happened is that they've had a conversation and it's been made clear that if people want to leave, they can. And we'll make something happen. And I reckon, Gus, this won't be the last that he's tap on the shoulder and say, listen, if you want to leave, you can, because we're going to look at a clean out here. We need to get some room under our salary cap and we need to target some different players. Mm. I think that's how it's turned out.
So as Loz mentioned, on the back page of the telly there, the carnage in the kennel. So gone Barrett, gone Ferris, who's the high performance manager. Going, question mark, Steve Hansen, who's not overly happy with what he's witnessed there at the Dogs and the departure of Trent Barrett. Jack Hetherington, the Telegraph saying here that he's been told he can leave at the end of the season. And even the club sponsor, Arthur Laundy, he wants to get to the bottom of it. Never good to, annoy the major sponsor of your club, is it, Loss?
No, you want to try and keep them as close as you possibly can, in particular when they're tipping in a lot of money. But I think this is the place that the Bulldogs are in, and this is what I think Phil Gould's been talking about for the last couple of years. The fact is that they've made some poor decisions and they need to reset. They need to start over again. They've got some quality players coming to the club next season in Kickow, Reed Marnie. You've got Ryan Sutton there as well. You add Addo Carr, you add Burton. You're starting to get some strike. But again, you still need some key position players, and I reckon that'll be one of the first things they look to try and bring into the organisation is some leadership in those key positions.
Also in the telly today, Pup, just seeing Matthew Mott, the Aussie women's coach, is on the verge of getting the job at England. Hmm. Yeah, their one-day coach, so he's obviously conquered all there. So he's going to get the job as the white ball coach at England. So poor Collingwood, they're going to overlook one of their own.
Interesting.
And so he'll be quickly cuddling up to Brendan McCullum, you would think, then, the test coach.
He's been good, Motti, though. He's been Australian women's coach for a long time, so and had a lot of success. You talk about someone doing the work and being around an Australian setup for a long time, and you look at their results, phenomenal. Probably better than any cricket team in the world over the period of time what he's been there. So his numbers are unbelievable. So great opportunity for him. He'll be super excited, Monty.
Also, the Australian Swimming Championships start today, and I feel like I'm 40. This is, Kyle Chalmers saying that as he prepares to try and get to the Paris 2024 Games, he's talking about the brutal toll that swimming has taken on his body. I'll tell you what, he doesn't look 40. Looks about 20.
Fit.
I mean, he's
a big unit, isn't he?
Oh, huge. I mean, what the training that these guys... I'll never forget someone did a story, Michael Phelps, at the peak of his powers, the food he ate every day. And that's the dream. I mean, he just ate whatever he wanted.
Keep eating.
Yeah.
Just burn the calories.
Didn't matter what what it was. No. All the junk under the sun. You're training like those guys are, go for gold.
And that's the length of sessions as well. Like, you go and train for an hour and you go, well, I've had it. Yet these guys are doing 4 hours in the pool, 6 hours in the pool in one go. Like, can you imagine? Oh, well, no, I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't imagine the discipline to go up and down staring at a black line for that amount of time. But then your body as well. You talk about fatigue and burning calories. My God. Different level.
Yeah, they work hard, don't they?
They probably say that about us, though. You stand and watch the grass grow for 8 hours in the field. How do you do that? Or how do you go and bat first?
Yeah, but you can take your mind off things.
They would say especially the same people thing. In the crowd,
they
just
would
start
say
combo.
The same thing, I suppose, when they're swimming up and down in a lane. But it's a challenging sport, isn't it? In particular, long-distance swimming.
I'd need headphones. I'd need to swim with music. I'm not sure I could be in my head for that long. It would be a dangerous place to be in silence.
You think about some weird things.
At least cricket, you can hear the noise, right? Yeah. You got the crowd,
yeah,
you get sledged, you get abused. Yeah. Like, you got something going on in your head. Even when you're batting, there's still
someone to talk to, too.
Swimming, I'd be in my head for too long, be dangerous.
Be honest with cricket, because, the amount of times, Loz, we go to the cricket and barely watch the cricket, you just watch stuff happening in the crowd.
Yep.
I mean, you're obviously focused, you've got to be. But how often would you just...
Every single ball.
Have a wander into the crowd, see what's going on over there. So, look at that fear snake over there.
Yeah, definitely.
You'd have to, sure.
Batting, fielding, whatever you're doing. You need that distraction. Like you say, switch on, switch off. So the only time I was so carefree until the bowler got to the top of his mark. And then I had a routine that I went through the whole time. But generally when I was at my best, in between balls when I was batting, it was like, you were just thinking about whatever was going on in your life, whatever was around you. You could hear music in the background, something's happening over in the members' stand. It was just every single ball you were looking for something to take your mind off that complete concentration focus just to give you that release.
I swear, I was at the Boxing Day test in Melbourne just last December, and I swear I spent one whole session watching security kick out people who were being egged to skull beers. It went on for 2 hours.
The beer snake was one of the best parts of batting because you just watch that. Like, that would take, could take 10 overs. You just watch it get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then you just see the police and just everyone booted out.
What's wrong with that?
Bring back the beer snake.
How's that dangerous?
Right. It's like the wave. I think the Mexican wave. That used to be unreal until it sounds like there's just beer thrown everywhere. Yeah.
And back in the 90s, not just beer.
Well, yeah. Good times. Good times.
Been a part of that, Middo?
Absolutely not. Might have been a victim as a kid.
I
remember once said, back in the 90s when the one getting a ticket to a one-day game in Sydney, Dad would ring Ticket Tech. The minute they open, 9 o'clock in June for a game in January, And so, you know, if you were late, you ended up on the hill.
Well, I love watching those old matches when
Benson
they still
had
the hill.
Windows.
And people would bring the Eskies in.
Yeah.
They'd bring their food and their drink in and they'd be there all day.
What do you think was in with the ice?
Well, that's what I mean.
Vodka.
It'd be vodka. Oh, thank you. I think you're allowed to bring your own beer in those days.
Yeah,
you bring
for
whatever.
A period, and then that changed.
And that all stopped.
Mm. But people still found ways around it.
There's always a rort, Middo.
Yeah.
It's only a rort if you're not in on it.
Yeah. Have we got some more celebrations gone wrong? Here we go. Laurie Daly after a try, then trying to find his seat at State of Origin, and Gus taking it. Rooster Man. One of the most...
Yeah, what? I don't know whether it was after a try. I don't know was happening. I think it was just a moment in the game. Mm.
It is some of the most famous sideline vision in Australian rugby league, though, isn't it?
It would be. It'd be up there. It'd be in the top 10 moments, for sure.
On YouTube, we'll have to see how many views that's had.
Oh, I reckon it'd be
iconic.
Millions.